Today on Real Life Radio.
God is not in competition with anybody. He's God. Who does he compete against? Who can compete against him? So if you're a Calvary Chapel dude, if you find yourself saying, well, you know, you got to go to my church to get saved, you're carnal.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know that epidemics are not always physical in nature? The most widespread epidemic that has taken over the world is not found in a lab. It's found in the disparity of the soul. Loneliness has swept the earth. People are overcome with despair more than ever before. Our heart longs for relationships, but many times we look for it in all the wrong places. There's really only one thing that can satisfy the soul, and that's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and to meet with him on a daily basis. Now, whether you're alone in your room or in a crowded coffee shop with your phone, your laptop, and latte, you really can find comfort and peace through God's Word and with Pastor Jack's devotions. New devotions written by Pastor Jack are uploaded on a weekly basis, but previous devotions are right there for you to check out at jackhibbs.com. Easy to find at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Christians Behaving Badly, Part 2. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and it's a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, many have come to Christ, but sometimes Paul has to talk to the church as babies who just refuse to grow up. They're not holding down a good diet of spiritual food, and they can't see the bigger picture. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that Christians who are behaving badly have a deep inner need to be at the center of everything. As a result, they're wasting away God's personal call on their lives. Now, with his message called Christians Behaving Badly, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This word to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and you know we're in verses 1 to 15, we're in part 2 of a message entitled, Christians Behaving Badly. Christians Behaving Badly. Paul's talking to the church at Corinth, and frankly, they're out of control. They are a carnal group of people that are all divided up. They've got all their little cliques. They've got all their little clubs, and it would be completely normal for them for a certain group of people. Let's say that if we were in Corinth, Greece, they would want, the church leadership would want, everybody who is from North Africa to be sitting in that area of the church. And then in this area of the church, those of you who are from Asia, you can sit in that part of the church because it's Greece. It was like one of the hubs of the world. And if you're Greek, oh, you could sit right here. And if you're somewhere in the Euro-Asian people's group, or if you're somehow from Western Europe, then you would maybe be in this part, and it would be all segregated up. It would be all divided. We get the word clique from that kind of stuff. And what happened was they got down to, because they only hung out with each other, it came down to the point where this group would say, well, I'm really hip on Peter. I think Peter rocks. He's my guy. Oh, really? Well, that's nothing. We're this people group, and we really think Apollos, he's a brain. We really like him a lot, and he's super, and he's our man. And this group over here would say, well, you know what? We vote for Paul. He's our guy. And they would come together in a church, but each people group would defend and promote their own guy. It'd be like this today. Oh, man, we're so into Charles Stanley. I mean, so am I, but we're so into Charles Stanley. Oh, you know what? We're so into Miles McPherson. So am I. I'm naming my favorites right now. Or whatever it is. Chuck Smith. We're Chuck Smith group. I'm of Chuck Smith. I'm of Miles. I'm of Charles Stanley. You understand that's carnal? The Bible says it's carnal. So hang on to your seats. Verse 1, he says, And we studied this last week. And I, brethren, so he's talking to Christians. And man, is he going to talk to them. Could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. That's a rebuke. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able. For you are still carnal. For while there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one, listen, each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, notice this, he's going to list some items here. Everyone's building on the items, but what are they using? If anyone builds on this foundation, that is Jesus Christ, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built upon, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned or burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself, the Christian, the brethren, the guy he spoke about in verse 1, he himself will be saved. This is not an issue about salvation. He's only talking to the Christian today. Yet so as through fire. Salvation is not the issue here, church. Listen up carefully. He's talking to Christians. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can take a big breath and relax. This service has nothing to do with you. But for the Christian, Paul says, it's time to grow up. You're behaving badly. Last time, part one, very quickly, this is what we looked at. Number one, we looked at verses 1 and 2 regarding Christians behaving badly, and the rebuke was this, they just wouldn't grow up. Remember that? They just would not grow up for 3 reasons. Number one, they wouldn't eat what they should. They didn't have an appetite for the Bible. They were recreational type of believers. They were going to heaven, but they didn't take God very seriously, and it was evident in their lives. Number two, they had a very, very poor diet. Their diet was bad because they weren't eating what they should. So listen, you got to eat something. A person will have a spiritual appetite for something, and a Christian who's not growing will eat silly stuff. They'll eat junk. You ever been around goats? I'm not saying that a Christian is a goat, and I'm not making the analogy from Scripture. But a goat will eat anything, including your purse or your wallet, or they'll eat your shorts. Goats are nuts. They have found metal inside of goats' stomachs. They'll eat anything. Some Christians who are not walking with God and in fact are carnal will eat anything but the Bible. They're big on magazines, big on catalogs, big on books. But they don't have a very good diet because they're not eating Bible. And then also we learn that they can't keep anything down because their diet is poor and they're not eating what's right spiritually. They can't keep anything that is of meat, that is the doctrine of the Bible, the Word of God, down. They can't grow onward because they can't handle it, which led us to point number 2, and that is they don't play nice either. They won't grow up and they don't play nice. Why is that? Because their emotions get the best of them every time. They're emotionally based Christians. They're going to heaven, but they whine about everything. We saw also that they're selfish. Their selfishness defines them. They want to know why the church isn't taking care of them more. How come you didn't pick my picture? How come you didn't do my thing? And what's in it for me? And it's all not about others. A spiritual Christian cares about other people and trusts God to take care of them, but not a carnal Christian. Which leads to the other thing we looked at was jealousies. They're filled with jealousies. Jealousies surround them. We saw that in verse 3. Now, here we go. We pick it up where we left off. This is the third point if you're taking notes today. Christians behaving badly, part 2 of our message, is that they just won't stop pretending. They live in a delusional world, the carnal Christian does. And well, how do you know, Pastor Jack, if they live in a delusional type, pretending, pretense type world? We look at verse 4. It says, "For when one says, 'I'm of Paul,' and the other, 'I'm of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" says the Apostle Paul. You know what? You think about that. "I'm of Paul." These are grown-ups. "I'm of Paul." "Oh yeah, so what? I'm of Apollos." And I thought about that for a minute. When's the last time you see something like that? Somebody's pretending. They pretend that they're somehow more holy because they go to what? Calvary Chapel? "Oh, we're really right on." "Oh yeah, where do you go?" "I go to the XYZ Assembly of God Church, and we're really right on." "Oh, that's what makes you right on? Oh, you know what? We trump all you guys. We're Baptist. We're the best in the whole world. John the Baptist. "Oh, that's the reason. You're carnal." "Well, Pastor, I know you're talking to everybody else, but I am a member of the First Baptocostal of Chino Hills." "You're carnal." Do you know what, when a religious organization says to you, "You're not going to go to heaven unless you're a member of our group," you're carnal. As a church that has open doors to anybody here in this church, you can, there are people who attend, in fact, it's safe to say, most people who attend this church are what I call visiting Catholics. Visiting Catholics. The reason why you didn't laugh very loud is because it's you. Here's the reason why. And I love it. I'm not joking. Here's the reason why. You go to Mass at St. Paul's or St. Denise or St. Margaret's. You go to Mass. And as soon as you're done, you come straight here for Sunday morning service. Did you know that, everybody? That's what they're doing right here. That's what they're all doing right here. Or they come here and then they go to Mass. And I don't care. Long as they're here getting the Bible, what do I care? I mean, you tithe over there, but you come here for Bible study. So hey, that's okay, right? Here's the thing. You're growing. And I love it. In fact, it's so cute. In the foyer, people will often come and say, "Father Jack." I know it's hard to believe. My son-in-law emailed me. And it was cute because he's calling me dad, or trying to. He's getting used to it. He's learning. It's just now coming up on a year of being my son-in-law. And so I'm also his boss, which is not a good thing for him. And I'm his pastor and father-in-law. So he emails me just the other day and he says, "Father," he didn't even think about it. He goes, "Father Jack, I got a question for you about," it was about like Home Depot or something like that. And I emailed him back and I said, "I really like the Father Jack part." "Father Jack." Well, you sweet, precious Catholics call me Father Jack in the foyer. And I'll say to you, "Jack's fine. Pastor Jack's fine. Okay, Father Jack, I have a question for you." It's the cutest thing in the world. I love it. And I know what's going on. They're hungering for the Bible. They're growing. They're coming here. And God's doing an amazing work in their life. And you watch what God does. You watch what he does. Here's the beautiful thing about it is, God is not in competition with anybody. He's God. Who does he compete against? Who can compete against him? So if you're a Calvary Chapel dude, if you are an Assembly of God person, if you're a Catholic, if you're a whatever, you know what? If you find yourself saying, "Well, you know, you got to go to my church to get saved," you're carnal. You need to know Jesus Christ to get saved. Jesus said it, you got to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's it. Well, listen to this. They said, "Well, we're of Paul and we're of Apollos." And it just cracks me. These people were grown-ups talking like that. Divisions and splits. It's wrong. It's petty and sad when you see that going on and God doesn't like it.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
You remember growing up and you had Superman underwear? Huh? Remember Spider-Man underwear? You guys remember underoos? I think they should be outlawed, personally. I think they're, but why? Because a kid is normal until you put on a pair of, right? Completely normal, and then he puts on a pair of Superman underwear. And here's the part that I think it should be illegal. The kid is so caught up. He's running around. Now neighbors are over. You have friends over. He loves his underwear. He puts on his Spider-Man underwear, and he's running around the house now. Hey! If he had normal, like, white Fruit of the Looms, he wouldn't even leave his room. But I've got, and what's he doing? I'm Superman. Well, you're not, but you're 9 years old or you're 6, and I understand what you're doing. But the next thing you do while you're talking to your neighbors, you look out in the backyard or the front yard, even worse, and he's running around in your front yard. He's got a sheet on his neck, and he's running. What's he doing? He's pretending he's Superman or Spider-Man. That's cute if you're 9 years old. But when somebody shows up, if you're 35 and you're wearing underoos, dude, you got problems. And we laugh because we go, man, no kidding, that guy would have problems. And Paul is saying exactly that. You show up and you're wearing your religious robe thing, you know? And you're running around and you're acting like this. And Paul says, you are carnal. You should have outgrown that a long time ago. And you find your identity in being a member of that group or that movement or that church. And the moment you are identifying yourself with a church rather than Jesus, you are carnal. Do you understand that? It's awful quiet in here. I hope you get that. Come in here is not going to save you. Well, that's why I'm not coming back, Pastor. I'm going to go to the church down the street or over there. Can't save you. It can't happen. It's a very critical thing. It's a very important thing. A second thing we look at in verses 5 and 6 is because this, they can't stop pretending because they can't see the bigger picture. They can't see the big picture. Verse 5, look at Paul. I love the way Paul is thinking, of course, under the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, who then is Paul? Paul's saying, who am I? And who is Apollos, his partner in preaching the gospel? Can you underline this in your Bibles? But ministers through whom you believed. That's it. But ministers in whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Isn't that great? It's amazing for me to actually see this happening in life. It's beautiful. You guys, check this out. Paul says, if anything, Apollos and Paul are servants, ministers. That's what the word minister means. If a pastor, now look, if the pastor's old and can't walk very good, I understand this, but if he can, then I don't think he should have his own parking spot with his name on it. And it's the, what's that spot? That's the pastor's parking. Well, doesn't he have legs? Well, yes, but he's the pastor. Yeah, he's the minister by whom we've come to believe in Jesus. Minister. What is Benjamin Netanyahu is the prime of Israel. You know what that word means? He's the chief among servants. Our constitutional form of government has been hijacked. And we vote for people, we send them to office, and then someone slips them $50 million or $40 million, or $43 million. From Saudi Arabia, and they vote exactly how they're told to vote. You think I'm making this up? I've had members of Congress tell me this. That's for next week. I'm already getting pumped. I can't do it. I gotta stay focused. They've lost the big picture. The carnal Christians lost the big picture. The big picture of the church is to get the gospel to the world. The big picture of the church is to love on one another. The big gospel is, it's a big gospel. The big gospel for the big picture is to give you big love to the glory of God. Paul says, you're not going to be able to do it if you're talking about, well, I'm of Paul, and well, we're of Apollos, so let's fight. No. Mankind can only plant, we can only water. God gives the increase, church. And that's why, by the way, I got to tell you, we had our board meeting on Thursday night. And I got to tell you something. 80% of the time of our board meeting, and it goes for hours. 80% of our time. I can show you what it was about, what it sounded like. I can show you what it sounded like. Are you ready? You watching? You want to know why? We're on how many radio stations around the world? How few of those do we pay for? You mean people are putting the radio program on for free? How many people are reaching Jesus through GMO on the internet? How many of you signed up last week to become online missionaries? Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. And what do we do? I'm getting goosebumps talking about it right now. Can you see them? I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be like, yes. We're doing this and we're doing that and we've got this done and by satellite and by iPhone or by this technology and in France and in South America and down in Australia and on the Maritime Radio Network, ships at sea and the U.S. military and the United States Marine Corps, they're broadcasting our programs to all their marine... Excuse me? One waters, one plants, but... God gives the increase. I got to tell you something. If God wasn't moving here in this church, I'll be the first to leave. I don't need the job. I don't need the money. I want to go where God's at. And if he's going to move down the street, then let's go. Why? Because in the end, it's all going to be about God giving the increase. And I'm not talking about church size. Don't let the size of this particular service right here, right now, that you're sitting in fool you. Just because there's a bazillion people here right now doesn't mean that we're right. It doesn't mean that we're doing something right. There's bigger churches than this that are way off base. It's not size. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, they follow me." If we just give the word of God out like we're doing right now, God's people will respond. You don't have to doctor it and fool yourself about serving it up. God gets the glory. We are to decrease. He is to increase. And it's a very important thing. But when you lose the big picture, you get all carnal. It's all about me. It's all about the denomination, or it's all about the movement, or it's all about our address or our street corner. No way. We have humbly prided ourselves in this work that God's doing here to be absolutely blown away at his faithfulness.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Christians Behaving Badly, Part 2. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, you recently did a very special prayer in Congress. And you kind of caught some heat for that, didn't you? In light of that, would you mind praying for us right now?
Yeah, thank you. I would love to do that. And friends, listen, quite an honor I've had recently. And that is this. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, asked if I would come to Congress and open up Congress in prayer. And so I did that very thing, and I had that honor to do what had been going on regarding our nation for some 250 years. And so I prayed, and I prayed specifically. In fact, I kind of bent the rules a little bit. I was not supposed to pray some certain way, and I just had to do what God was telling me to do. But why would I do that? Why would you pray for our country? Why should we pray? Number one, we are commanded to pray for those who are in leadership over us. The second thing is that you and I are commanded in Scripture. For example, the Bible tells us, in Jeremiah 29, verse 7, that we are to pray and to seek the welfare of the city in which we live, that we might live at peace and harmony. That's the will of God. It's God's will that the United States be governed with those who fear God. That is the will of the Lord. We often forget that. So, friend, listen, not only should we pray for our government, we have to keep praying for our government. Our nation is in deep trouble, and only the people of God, I believe, can turn this country around if we turn our hearts toward God. So pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd cause
all of the believers in this nation to turn to you in humble adoration and humble petition, that God, you would intervene in our country, and that the leaders who are leading against your will would be brought to submission in you. And Lord, that those that are leading according to your word would find encouragement, that we might once again be a nation that is truly worthy to say that we are one nation under God. We're not, but we need to be. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.